I had driven all the way out to this prison outside of town, you know, for a conjugal visit. And I get all the way out there after that huge long drive, and it turns out you had to know somebody.
Hello, everyone. Hola, mis amigos. You're listening to Oh My God, Hi, Hijo de Dios, Hola. With me, George Lopez, porque sabes que, let's do the show, porque I got a lot of things to do. I gotta go to that dry cleaner here by Kid Phelps. Se pegó la cabeza, I gotta go get some Neosporin Paul.
You know where George is?
Oh, I'm sure he's around here somewhere.
What's his name?
George
Lopez.
George Lopez.
Oh my God.
OMG.
OMG. Hi.
Oh my God. Hi.
If you're enjoying OMG High, please support our sponsors. First up, we have Sunday Lawn Care. Sunday Lawn Care helps you grow a beautiful lawn without the guesswork or the nasty chemicals. Get 20% off your full season custom plan and go to getsunday.com/OMGHI20. That's getsunday.com/OMGHI20.
Grant, can you tell us?
Yeah, I assume who's joining us on the podcast today. We've got Sean Pulaski and Vicky Barbalak, comedians, actresses, and hosts of the upcoming Trailer Park Diaries podcast.
Yeah. We're thrilled to be here.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, let's talk about your entrance into comedy.
Yeah.
Okay? How long have you known each other?
20-some years, 23 years, 24 years.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you met... back
in
east?
The belly room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We met in the belly room.
The Comedy Store.
Doing a show, and she said we should have dinner. She was going to pay for our dinner for going to the belly room, but she didn't.
A
she
mutual
didn't show
friend.
Up.
A mutual friend.
She didn't pay?
Yeah. She didn't show up. So we were there, and we had to buy our own dinner, and it was tough. But anyway, she was a terrible person anyway, so it was kind of a relief that she wasn't there. So we met that night, and I asked her if she would split dinner with me, and she jumped across the table and hit me.
Said no.
Because, no. I would never share with and
no.
She only ate half her food. It made me so mad.
Well, did you guys remember we went to go eat?
Mel's?
Yeah.
Mel's.
Oh,
Diner.
Mel's down there on Sunset over there.
Where else are you going to go after the Comedy Store?
Well, you're served by the former Comedy Store managers.
Yeah. That was before we discovered Poquito Mas, though, which was delicious.
Poquito Mas is good. There's Pinchy's right down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Pinchy's Tacos.
Yes, been
the
there,
time
done
we
that.
We were there, like, you were, like, kind of beyond day-to-day at the store.
I was already... Listen, I've been around a long time. One time when I was working during the day over there and we went to go see a movie, me and a guy at work, and the guy was a pain in the ass. And we went to go eat at some Italian place, and he goes, I don't have my wallet. And I said, I don't have my wallet. I did, but I told him I didn't. So I left to go get money, and I never went back.
Nice.
I don't know. If, he was a pain in the ass. He's like the boss's son, you know, so they're like trying to make me hang out with the boss's son. And I said, he goes, I don't have my wallet. And then I, that split second when you go,
yeah,
you know, I don't think I have mine either.
I'm clear.
And then the waiter was, you know, kind of like back in the days, kind of like, none of you guys are, you're out the door, nobody's leaving. And then I said, let me go, I'll leave you here, and then I'll go get some money.
The old climb out of the window in the bathroom trick.
Like in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah. I used to do that in synagogue all the time, Hebrew school. We'd be like, we'll be right back. And then we climbed out of the window and... went to 7-Eleven.
Do you think that it's more work to be Jewish than it is to be Catholic?
Yeah, look at me. Of course.
I think it is.
I'm exhausted, George.
Because Hebrew school and that's like, it's for life, I think, right? I think you never stop learning.
I mean, 13, a bat mitzvah, that's pressure.
What's the preparation before a bat mitzvah?
Well, you meet with the Rebbe, because I like to say Rebbe. You meet with the rabbi.
Is that your rabbi that you've had since you were really young?
Not anymore, because I grew up Jewish in Oklahoma. So that is, take a moment for that, Gil. But it was like a whole thing. But I grew up actually conservative Jewish. My parents were from Brooklyn. So we were, there wasn't many of us.
Did your dad company move to Oklahoma?
My father went to medical school at Oklahoma University, and then he established his neurosurgery practice there.
Wow.
He's a neurosurgeon.
In case anyone ever needs a brain surgeon. I mean, he's a little shaky now. You don't want that in your brain.
But you know that I guess when you get a little bit shaky.
There goes your eyesight. Sorry.
Like skates.
It's like when Willie Mays got old and he tripped running for a baseball. They're like, I think it's time to.
Yeah.
He tripped. And everybody in the stadium was like, I think it's time to put Willie out.
Yeah.
So
you meet with the rabbi. You go to Hebrew school for like, Maybe like 6-7 years. You go for a long time.
Damn.
But then when you have to like practice and learn your Haftor and all that, that's like your whole summer. It's
a
lot.
Is that a dance, the Haftor?
Yes,
but
the Haftor.
It's a lot. I mean, listen, we had to go to catechism and then we could miss 2 months and go back.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I was Catholic. Yeah. I wouldn't have put up with all the...
I couldn't have done it.
But there's a reward to that.
7 years, like, though. That there's the reward of the party,
well,
right?
Yeah, you make a lot of money. Like now
you
today,
make a
kids
lot of money.
Have... I attended my friend's kid's bar mitzvah. She made, like, she got a 401k. Like, she made a lot of money, more money than I probably made in my lifetime. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, that was the good thing. You got gifts and
it's a big
college
thing.
Fund.
It's like there's not strangers that you invite. It's all family and friends. It's a big deal.
Well, you know, maybe a couple of strangers,
yeah.
You know, depending how rich they look.
Yeah.
You remember when you have confirmation, when you get like a pinata? Nothing. I mean, we didn't get anything like that as Catholics.
You know,
did you do confirmation?
In Mexico, you could tell how, you know, pinata was like very elegant, but in Mexico, they have a thing called the bolo, where they take change and the guy will stand in the middle of the room or the backyard and throw the money in the air. And then all the kids run after it and they bump, hit each other in the head,
yeah.
And they knock each other out. And they're fighting over coins.
That's interesting.
And the bolo, yeah, you learn to get the hell out of the way. But my daughter got trampled because my wife had, you know, the kids were hitting the piñata in the backyard, and it wouldn't bust. Their kids are like 4 years old, so she really kind of tore it, and it kind of went like Carrie, you know, like all the candy all over her, and she's standing there like this, and those kids attacked her.
Yeah,
and she went down and face in the, you know, they're just kind of. Grabbing all the candy around her.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not, you know.
They're so dangerous.
Those aren't
we
good
always
memories.
Had them too. And I always thought it was just because I was white and I didn't know how to operate them. But I think they're dangerous for everybody. I mean, there's never a time when somebody's not going to get hurt.
You know, I've seen enough Sopranos where you just give somebody an envelope, you know, it's like, hey, you know, God bless. You know, they give you an envelope and they put them in the thing, you know. And then what did they say that one time in the Sopranos, like the guys got busted and the guys went back there and go, they were looking in the bag and they were grabbing their envelopes back like shit.
Yeah.
They took the guy away. We're taking our money back.
Yeah.
But 7 years is a, and do you remember is it like a driver's license? Like if you pass Hebrew school that you never have to worry about going back?
See, you know what? It was like very fortunate I got to study. I didn't have a bar mitzvah alone. I had a b'nai bar mitzvah, which is two. So my sister and I were pretty close in age. Not like Irish twins close, but we were close enough that, you know, all our relatives lived in New York. So if they had to go back and forth to Oklahoma, which nobody wants to do from New York. So we studied together. So we had our bar mitzvah together. So we both took turns torturing the rabbi, which is basically what you do through those sessions. And it's just like you don't want to commit to it, but you know that you have to because there's the pressure from the family. And you got to get it right. And when you have to sing Hebrew, I'm not a good singer. I mean, although I look like one, I do. I sing terribly. I sing terribly, and that's.
But you have a deep voice. Like you have a voice.
Yeah.
Like you would be a good singer.
Well, my balls just dropped, George. But yeah, other than that, but it.
I bet my balls drop a lot more. I'm older than you. They're down there. I mean, you're like, what the fuck, man? If you let them hang, they're gonna drop. But if you wear underwear. There's some support, you know?
Yeah.
We have the bra concept for the same reason.
It's an awful thing, too.
Ours is on top. Yours is on bottom.
You know, when you get to the age where you look better clothed?
Yeah.
When you just like when you have sex, it's like when you go have surgery, they just isolate that one area. Maybe they just put a sheet over you with a hole in there. Your penis is out there.
No Amish sex. That's all I ever do anymore.
Wait, are we supposed to have sex without our clothes on? Was that a thing?
So, what entertainment did you have
at my party?
Yeah.
Well, we had our party in the backyard. We lived on a lake, and we just had this really lovely big backyard. So it was just a band, and you know, we didn't have like P. Diddy perform or anything like that. Nobody.
Just like
I know they do. I know they do.
They do some big time shit now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they go. You know, my daughter went to Campbell Hall, and around that age, she came back with a picture of her and an elephant. And I'm like, what the fuck is the fucking elephant? At the bat mitzvah, the girl had an elephant, like a circus.
As you do.
And then they had a book leaflet. I said, what's this book? Oh, they made this book at the party. And you open it up and it's pictures of all her friends and the girl. And you're like, they fucking made books. Yeah, they had a guy back there making books.
It's crazy.
And stamping
them. There's a lot going on today. But, you know, at least she didn't bring Shlomo the elephant home. No. So that would have been a problem.
And now it is. But it was never about, like, how much money you had. It was a ceremony.
Yeah.
But they've turned it into how much money you have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, it's a production. It's bigger than a wedding.
It's bigger than a wedding.
You have to go on a diet. If you're a mom for months,
years
to get sick. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. All my Jewish girlfriends, they do on a diet before the kids' bar mitzvahs for like a year.
It's a big deal.
Oh, so you have to look, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to like two next month. Now it's like every other friend's kid is getting bar mitzvahed. So, you know.
What's the proper amount, like 1,000?
Oh, to give?
Yeah.
Well, for you, George, it is.
No,
but what, for me?
A couple hundred?
A couple hundred.
Oh, wow. And how many people go to one, typically?
Well, I mean, I've been to ones that were like 500 and I've been to ones that were like 100. It just depends, especially in like the time of COVID or whatnot. People sometimes, they
You know, when
less.
I was in 2009, when I was flying around, I was going to do my HBO special. I was going between Houston and San Antonio and we were at the Houston Four Seasons and, we've been drinking. We're on a private plane. We get back to the hotel and I tell the bellman, what's the biggest tip that you ever got? And he goes, somebody gave me $500. I said, bullshit. For what? For bringing the bags up. Somebody gave me $500. So I said, okay, well, put your hands out. And I gave him $600. Huh. And then I said, who gave you $500? And he goes, you did last Saturday.
No!
That's awesome.
He goes, you didn't say who, you said what.
Oh, that's so
I fucking
awesome.
Had no idea that I gave him $500.
God, you know what? We look like when I waited tables, we look for people like you, George, to come in and tip us. And I used to work at Neiman Marcus in Beverly Hills in their restaurant downstairs, the Mariposa. I bring Vicky in all the time.
Who would you see in there?
Oh,
everybody.
Okay, ready? We would have Nancy Reagan. Oh. Then we'd have Jodie Foster at the bar.
Whoa.
Then we'd have like the Prince of Dubai would come in, so they clear the store. Stevie Nicks. I waited on Kathy Bates. I waited on Roseanne there. I remember her going, and I didn't tell her I was a comic, and she's like, what should I order? And I was like, the lobster cob. And she's like, why? And I'm like, because it's the most expensive. Like, people came in all the time. But it was kind of like Saturday Night Live in there because it was just a cast of characters and people that would come in. And these people, just everyone had so much money, they would just run the shit out of you. And it's lunch. It's fucking lunch.
Run the shit out of
Why do I have to be like, darling, could you do me a favor? Could you go upstairs to the third floor and get me low-fat yogurt? No, I can't. I'm running around. There were a lot of tables, and everybody was very high maintenance.
But you saw a lot of comedians in the so they would go in there and have lunch, right? Like it was like a cafeteria?
Yeah. I had Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, name it. Everybody and anybody. The best one was George Michael. He came in one day. And the restaurant was empty because it was like 4 o'clock before it closed. And I was the only one on.
Whoa.
And I didn't know there was all these like Japanese girls lining up outside the restaurant, which was just like, what's going on here? And then you heard screaming. And then he came in and then he sat down and he was very polite and nice. And it was like right after the whole Caught in the Park thing. So, that was probably the biggest celebrity I ever.
You know, you think with as much, you know, gay activity as we have in West Hollywood, which is right down the street from Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I'm very involved in that whole gay activity.
It's just a mile from touching toes in the park.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, you just go to one of those bars out there, High Tops or, you know, Fiesta Cantina. Not that I know. But you know, I think it's easy to get blown, especially during the day.
Yeah.
I've never been invited out there.
Well.
Gil, would you like to go?
Hold on.
I was just there yesterday.
Let me see what shoes you're wearing so I can tell if I touch your toes. But I saw George Michael in the mid-80s walk with, I would presume it was his manager, across the street. And he had like designer jeans. He was very thin. He had a black V-neck sweater on. He had the Caesar haircut. And he had those like big Versace glasses and like dingo boots, like beetle boots. Mm-hmm. And that motherfucker looked
sexy.
I would have blown
sexy,
him.
Sexy, yes. God.
They honked at me. I had to keep going. But I mean, he looked like a Greek god. Mm-hmm.
He was in his element.
He's walking like this and not mm-hmm. an ounce of fat on him. And you're mm-hmm. just like, whoa, yeah. man.
Yeah.
Like it was beautiful.
Like, when I walked in, you said, the same thing. I saw you look at me like that.
I put it in my phone. And I put it down
little,
in my phone.
It was a little life-affirming. Office.
Did Tody Fields ever go in there? No. She
didn't. No.
So how did you guys find your way to comedy?
Go ahead, Vicky.
So I was like 40 when I started, and
I love that.
Yeah. I started, I took Sandy Shore Pauly's sister's class, comedy class in La Jolla. And I just, you know, just did it for a lark, and then I started loving it. And Mitzi saw me about a year after that in La Jolla one night, and she made me regular for Hollywood. I didn't even know what a paid regular was. I had no idea.
No shit.
No idea. I didn't know.
But you had been already a fan of comedy before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was just so, like, so sheltered. I literally didn't know. I went to the comedy store in Hollywood one time. Never saw any live shows, just listened to records. Didn't date a lot. Anyway, so I didn't know much.
Hey, listen, man. No, listen, nobody who's the life of the party is going to become a fucking comedian.
Exactly.
You have to be in there where they're like, dude, get some sun, man. You walk yeah. out and you're flaky, all kind of shit on you. Because yeah. you're the... Doing comedy is the last fucking resort
yeah.
of show business. I mean, you know, you could be a fucking fire breather, but, you know, you could do that with nobody around. To be a comedian, you have to be like... I mean, listen, John Bobbitt got his dick cut off and it sewed it back on. It didn't attach the right way. And he said, I think I'm going to become
porn,
a comedian.
Exactly.
He did porn, then porn. He did stand up.
You're like going to comedian. I'm like, porn.
But there's a bunch of fucking Cato Kalin did stand up and Rocky Laporte.
Yeah.
John Mayer.
I heard Putin's
John
putting together
Mayer
5 minutes right now.
Does so sti- like does he not oh, get yeah, enough does, pussy?
Right.
Like, dude, like, yeah. bring it down. We got you. You're a rock star. Just stay in that lane.
But you know, when you get a lot of pussy, you don't appreciate it because you're kind of on the bottom of the barrel. You're like, this is only because I'm funny. It's not any other. But you know, it's all right.
That's the way I feel.
I think it works different for women because. As a comedian, that when if a woman is standing on stage, she's funny. You can just see some of the men's faces in the audience, and I feel like it was harder to pull dick, and so to the point where I had to trick them into marrying.
You know what? I think that's. Did you meet your husband in a club?
Yes and no, and it was only because a gay friend brought his coworkers to the club. To see me. So I knew who my friend was bringing, and he had told me that one of them was Brazilian. So I'm not dumb, wasn't born yesterday, like my Men Brown, thank you. And I knew that he was coming. So I kind of set my eyes on him, but didn't think much. And so the first time he did see me was in the club.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you do?
I did okay. I picked on him, and I picked on the Argentinian in the front row.
Did you remember what you said to him?
I gave him a hard time because I had people from New Zealand in the front row, two guys, and I was talking about how they're probably uncircumcised, and then I kind of went into a bit there, and then I said, oh, Rafael, you're from Brazil, you know, you've got a sneaky snake, and he goes, come on, and then that was what I had said to him, so then I pit him against there was a woman from Argentina, and so I think it was just like foreign person night, and I just was kind of improvising with the crowd.
Is there a personality trait of an uncircumcised person versus a circumcised guy? Can you tell?
Usually who's South American. We'll start there. You know,
yeah, so. Because it's like, what do they call it? Like an anteater? There's a bunch of names for it.
Yeah, we call it a sneaky snake.
The German helmet versus the anteater.
Yeah.
You know.
It's the whole thing. It's the whole thing.
like names of robots. the helmets versus the sleeping bag.
But Vicky, yeah, tell them how you met your third husband.
Oh, yeah. Lou is my favorite so far. He's a piano player in La Jolla.
At the comedy store. Yeah.
Oh, at the comedy store.
Yeah, he's been there forever.
And you've been married three times?
Yeah. I'm on a roll.
Wow.
He slowed me down.
So, who was the first comedian that you saw that made an impact on you guys?
For me personally, I don't know if it'd be stand up wise. It was Bette Midler.
Yeah, amazing.
That just the way she is an entertainer, in all shapes and like the just what she does. I mean, one moment she can have you crying when she's singing, and the next minute, you know, somebody, I've seen her in concert and someone's like, "We love you, Ben." She's like, "I know, honey, but you're gay." You know, she just yeah, is sure. like she's so fast and versatile.
And you know, when you saw the Rose, which was kind of like Janis Joplin's story.
Right. Aren't you waiting for them to try and remake that?
I don't think they should like, fuck with that.
But they will at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever see The Rose?
Yes.
It's very good, huh?
Yeah.
Because she just was like a force of nature, man.
Still
she could dance. She could sing to the bugle boy. And she was funny.
Yeah.
And she was pretty amazing. She could rock. And she, you know, still is.
She's dynamic.
Amazing, yeah.
Everything. I met her twice. And I scared the shit out of her. But that when I met her, oh, my God.
Did anybody like that ever see you do stand-up? Ever see you guys do stand-up?
I Phyllis Diller was, like, for me, just growing up, and I loved her so much. And I did a show called Funniest Mom in America, and she was judging that night. And she, when I found out she was there, I just lost it. I was like, no, I'm going to really meet Phyllis Diller.
That fucking laugh was amazing.
I
was,
so yeah, she was scary. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah, and the night she got to see me perfform, and she's like, you know, I love you. And I was like,
oh. But she laughed loud. And didn't give a fuck if it was popping. Ha ha! Like, didn't care who was in the room. Like, she didn't chuckle laugh. She laughed.
Yeah.
She laughed big.
And men had big balls back then. Not that they don't now, but they don't have as big a balls as they used to. In general, I think. We have to, you know, the tapping it down. But back then, I mean, she was, like, in the room with just big, giant ego, giant men comics. And she always, like, held her own. It was always
she was
so
amazing.
But that laugh. Like yeah, had to so. Make you feel good when you hear somebody laugh like that. I wrote for Fashion Police for a little bit for Joan Rivers, and I remember being just so frightened the first day. And you're sitting around a table full of writers, and everyone is better than the next. And it's like, oh, here you go, and you got to deliver your 10 jokes about one picture of Rihanna, and it's the same Chris Brown shit joke.
Right.
You know, you're like, how do I find something different to say? And she had this system. Where if she liked your joke, she kind of like, she'd pat the back of the chair and her head writer would write it down. And that would be a joke she'd use for the show the next day. And so if you heard her laugh and you saw her do the pat, that or she used your joke, that meant everything. Like that was a moment where I was like, I can't believe I'm sitting in a room with Joan Rivers.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, when Joan Rivers was on my talk show, I said, you know, I had the biggest crush on you when I was growing up. She goes, what the fuck is wrong with you? See the way I looked. I said, remember that
what the fuck is wrong with you?
Remember that Uniroyal commercial you had for tires? She goes, yeah. I go, that would do it for me. What? She had this kind of Uniroyal tire. She'd walk out. And we had a contest. We had a swear jar. And her and I went back and forth and had money. And we would just put it into this jar. And I'd say, my grandmother was a bitch. And she goes, my mom was a slut. We just put money in there. Amazing.
Yeah.
God.
I mean, you know, I think that, you know, people like that, that like you can feel their comedy like in them. You know, when you see them, they're already like, I mean, I saw Richard Pryor in front of the Comedy Store. And he just looked different. They almost looked like they were elevated beyond, you know. I saw Letterman in the early 80s, and, you know, I've seen everybody, talked to everybody, but I don't know, you know, I think social media kind of diluted the significance of the stand-up comedian, you know, like Bill Burr and those guys, like, you know, they're always at the Comedy Store, which is amazing, you know, but there's a lot of people that are YouTube influencers, and, you know, they kind of pee in the pool, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to get your head around them because, you know, you don't see them in the clubs, but yet, you know, they sell out 6 shows all the time. And you're like, well, that's, you know, what are they?
I know.
You know, I mean, I can't work cameras and film and
but
if they record things.
If they are out of their element, they can't survive.
Yeah. It's funny, though. They do have these loyal fans that just show up. And it is. But you wonder how long it's going to last, how long it's sustainable for, till they get another. But who knows? It's just an interesting thing that's going on.
Yeah. And you guys' husbands get along with each other?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so different and so, like, extreme. Extreme.
So Brazilian like, and
a Jew. She married the Jewish guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's high all the time.
We
he's
call fine. Him Pot. His name's Lou. Lou Brockman.
Pop Brockman. Pop Brockman. Yeah, he's just a totally high piano player. He can't hear a thing. That's why the only reason he's still with me. Stoned and deaf.
Tell him the book that you're writing with the title.
I'm writing
is.
A book. It's true. It's called Your Husband Hates the Sound of Your Voice. I just finished with my editor a few minutes ago. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's hard to imagine, but spring is almost here. We're so close to feeling that soft grass under our feet, but first we need to get our lawn back. Thankfully, Sunday gets your lawn growing and helps to keep it healthy all season long. Sunday can help you grow a beautiful lawn without the guesswork or the nasty chemicals. Their custom plans include fertilizer and everything you need to easily care for your lawn. And with ingredients like seaweed, iron, and molasses, you can feel good with kids and pets being around it too. All you have to do is visit Sunday.com, put in your address, and the lawn analysis tool does the rest. They then use soil and climate data to create a personal nutrient plan delivered to your door right when you need it. And best of all, this stuff just really works. My favorite part is the easy delivery. Like, I'm a delivery man. This is the 21st century. I love anything that can come straight to my door. That's one of my favorite parts here. So Sunday is offering our listeners 20% off. Full season plans start at just $129, and you can get 20% off at checkout when you visit getsunday.com/OMGHI20. That's 20% off your custom plan at getsunday.com/OMGHI20.
When you started to do stand-up, did you feel like your life was going in a good direction, like to be around comedy and to be writing it?
Like, right, immediately. Like, I had been selling carpet for 20 years at my parents' business, and I was not the employee of the month ever. They hated me, and I was miserable the whole time. It was awful. And so I just thought I was going to have a miserable life. I loved being a mom, but other than that, I married the wrong men. I was just miserable, and I thought, that's how I picked a miserable life, and that's it. I never thought it would change. I didn't know it would change. I thought it was done. And then I just took this little class, and I just started going to open mics, and I told my parents in a few years, just sell the store. I don't want it. And I just jumped into a trailer. I bought a trailer with my daughters, and we moved into a trailer. And we just were poor for like, we were happy. I'm so glad I did.
You bought the trailer. You went and looked at it. You walked inside of it.
$11,000 from a transgender lady with a whole closet full of guns and gowns. And it was just great.
And what was she doing? She was selling it?
She was moving on, like, to Tennessee or something.
Wow.
And so she liked my daughter, Emily, and she gave us, like, $5,000 off. I bought it for
$11,000. Oh, my God.
And we just started living the trailer life, and it had just been great.
So you lived the trailer life, but did you live the trailer life? No.
I did not live the trailer.
A Jew in a trailer, they'd come and get you like, come on.
Right.
We're rescuing unicorn. You. Get out of here. You don't belong in here.
You're taking in a rail car to a trailer park. It's the only way
it's cold
it.
In this trailer. Yeah. No, I didn't. I was fortunate. I grew up pretty well and went to USC. And thank you, Fight On. Thank you. And then I always acted as a little kid. Oh. So I always liked comedy in that sense because I thought my path would be more of an SNL. I always did characters and impersonations. So I was always in school plays and drama contests and just always, you know, I had a very funny family. And so when I went on to USC and then I majored in the School of Theater, which was very productive, really helpful towards my career. And then when I was studying at USC, I took with the Groundlings and I was in class with like Will Ferrell. And I saw him as like a bank teller.
Wow,
and then I just watched like how people's careers changed after working with all these great people.
Was Will Ferrell a bank teller?
He was a bank teller at the time, also graduate of USC. And so I kind of just fell into stand-up. That was like, I'll take a stand-up class when I graduated college. And I did it like once for that first year. And I still stuck with sketch comedy. And then something about me was just like, you know, we're not really bringing in a bunch of audiences here at Acme Comedy Theater. And I started doing stand-up here and there. And that's like when I would do shows in the Belly Room.
Yeah.
And I saw when I saw Vicky on stage, because she's just like this beast of one-liners, and she was such a killer writer, and she was such a character already. She didn't need a point of view. It was all there. She lived in a trailer. Yeah. She was a mother, a single mother of two at the time, and she was just dynamic. And I thought, God, you know, she really, watching her make someone like myself step up their game.
Right.
And yeah, we came from such different backgrounds, but yet...
And I was like so blown away by her, because there weren't that many women back then working. There really weren't. And so it was just so fun to find her.
You all right?
Yeah. I'm
just, you okay? A little gas or something?
Yeah, a little gas.
Well, you're sitting on the chair sideways. That's probably why.
What's in the red can?
Beer.
What kind of beer is
that?
Beer?
Is a sour hibiscus beer.
Please, can I have that?
Direct the chair for this.
George, do you design these flavors yourself? And
that might be sour for you, but this is like an orange.
Like sour.
I like the sour too.
Oh yeah. Oh.
What is that, Beyonce on the front?
No, it's some Chicano that looks like Beyonce.
Don't say that or I have to pay her. I always keep her on the other side of the camera.
Oh my gosh, this is great.
But I saw.
It's really good.
Who did I see when I was still in high school? Also, I have another hotel story.
How many calories are in this?
We don't count. We don't count.
Okay, it's delicious.
You know, less than if it was a 32 ounce.
Thank you.
So I was in Corpus Christi, the Omni, and then I come down. We're still flying the same week. And then there's a guy that's having his 40th anniversary. Did I tell you that story already?
I don't think so.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Don't you fucking... It's like... You're like a chaplain thing. Like I'm talking, he's trying to get into the chair.
Call it about. It's like me and the rabbi.
Yeah.
You all right?
You all right? And then there was a guy that was kind of, you know, like this, and it said, congratulations on 40 years, you know, retirement. And someone had drawn a dick with it in his mouth and balls. And I was like, oh, man. I said, this is awful.
I love that, though.
This fucking guy's going to come over here. His family's going to see the picture. And somebody drew a dick and balls. And the bellman goes, you drew that last night when you got to the
No, well done.
And I said, and then he said, you didn't give me my Sharpie back. I'm like, oh, all right. No, I'll put the fucking up in my room. But I guess when I was blacked out, I probably was a vandal.
I love
that's probably their prized possession
that.
In their life. The one,
I was just
the
having
George
a good time. Like, you
Lopez
know, if,
balls
if,
and dick.
If, and, you know, I pissed off a lot of people, but it's like, if I wanted to conform, I would have stayed working during the day.
Yeah.
I think at some point, when you do something that's different than everybody else, you have to be about that. You know, race car drivers, when they drive, they could die. And comedians, you got to go up, and eventually, whether you're trying to duck it or not, like I always say to my wife, you know, eventually you have to put them up.
Right.
Like you can get a good crowd. You can catch yourself a couple times. And then when you do, you don't do good when there's not a lot of people. But you got to do good whether there's five people or 500
right.
people.
Yep.
And at some point, you got to put them up.
Yeah,
that's true.
I felt like Mitzi Shore, because she was taking on a bunch of female comics at the time. Vicky and I got past because she wanted to bring women back into the belly room to kind of ease the energy. Because I guess back in the day, that's when it was really
it was
at its height.
Yeah.
And so when she passed Vicky and I,
That's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal to get past Mitzi Shore.
It was great. And we're lucky, you know, because, you know, she didn't get to work with that many more people.
Right.
So we were just like, the tail end. And then, you know, then when you realize what you got, she had me over to her house for the first time. And I was like so shaky. And she goes, go up and take a nap. And she said, the right. She was the first door on the right. And the stairway went two different ways. So I just laid on the tile. I didn't want to disturb a bed. And
Did they have beds up
there? Beds up there. And I was just like, it was so much fun being with her. And the way she works with you, what she does secretly, you know, to make you get better. It was
You know what? That's pretty good because nobody's ever talked about that. Like, everybody thought, you know, she was pretty hard on comedians. And rightly. Like, you wouldn't think she was paying attention. And she sat there in the back with, like, a little light. You could see the glasses hanging at the tip of her nose. And she was paying attention.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, she could look down and she could look up and she could – and was always paying attention, you know.
Yeah. But the story behind that is if you were trying to become a regular at the Comedy Store, when you were showcasing in front of Mitzi Shore in L.A., every comic tried to cock block you while you were showcasing. She'd sit in the back of the room, and comics would purposely come up to talk to her. And so they would distract her. But she was smarter than that. But I saw it so many times, and it was, like, vicious.
Yeah. You know, I spoke at Richard Pryor's funeral, you know, and David Banks, who was... Did you guys ever meet David Banks? David Banks was as funny as Richard Pryor.
Wow.
I mean, he was really funny, like hood funny like that. And he was an usher at Richard's funeral. And he and I are standing in the middle of the Little White Chapel at Forest Lawn. And we see somebody really tiny, just all this hair. And it's Mitzi. She's walking and she's got the, you know, program in her hand. And when she passes us, David Banks catches her on the arm and he goes, "Don't leave. You'll be back Wednesday."
Oh, no. That's so funny.
Forest Lawn.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He fucking told her she'll be back well. I was like,
I can just see your face.
Oh, my God. I ran outside. He goes, "Where the fuck did you go?" I said, "Man, I ran outside, dude." I was like, the timing of it.
You don't want to be
because he let her, he saw her here and he let her get by here and then went like that.
Oh,
it's like
great.
Just that's the so timing great. Of it was amazing. God.
Is he still around, David Banks?
No, he passed, unfortunately.
Oh, I wonder if we could find him anywhere online.
Anybody? I think you could, yeah. He did all of the Richard Pryor type shows and stuff like that.
Oh, neat.
You know, there was a lady golfer that I played golf with up in La Quinta, and she lived in a mobile home. What's that? Like, I had friends growing up in San Fernando that lived in mobile homes. And when you're like in fifth grade, you think it's cool to ride your bike through a trailer park.
I still love the way the sunlight hits the aluminum at sunset. I think it's so romantic.
But you know what, Vicky? Vicky does live in you live in a glamorous trailer.
I live in a 1979.
You don't live in like,
it's not very glamorous.
You still do?
I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
If I can stay in it,
it's
glamorous.
I put in a pool in my own yard. I got a corner lot.
No shit.
I don't want to brag. Top of the hill. Ever since AGT, things have really changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still the same person inside, but fuck, I got the bitchin' trailer.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's right.
You saw it on America's Got Talent?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, Vicky was a finalist.
It was cold. Hey. It was killing me.
Trailer Nasty, oh, thank you.
Yes.
That's so nice. Thank you.
I remember you.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Great
that's
run.
That's not a fucking easy thing to do.
You know, I've been doing it solidly for 20 years before that, and you know, it's like, because I was old and fat when I started, and it was back at the time when people weren't looking at different people. So I could never get anyone in L.A. besides Mitzi to look at me. So, but I just kept loving it and doing it. That AGT thing, the way that takes America around the industry
was the
best thing that ever happened. Mm-hmm. So, and I enjoyed the whole process. The two-minute thing, it was like a zen thing. At first, I'm like, this isn't comedy, this is bullshit. And then the more I got into those 2 minutes.
How many jokes can you do in 2 minutes? Five?
It just depends. You could do one long 2 minute joke or two or three, you know. Just I put little index cards together, and the bartender at La Jolla Comedy Store just say, and wow, I would lay the bar the cards out.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it was a
year
long.
I'm six, I'm 3 a minute.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Oh, I was 3 a minute.
Isn't that funny how you can know that?
Yeah.
God.
You can know that.
Yeah, I don't have that answer.
And you always have. I think one of the toughest things to do is to find, like, a solid opening line.
Totally, it has to be the opening and the end, right? You put whatever you want in the middle.
You opened up. Was it Trophy Wife? I mean, Vicky just. I mean, to watch Vicky over the years work so hard and get, you know, the props that she deserved. I mean, she got a standing ovation her first time out.
And
I would have cracked and totally laid down and died. But to watch...
What was your first set to get a standing ovation? I mean, that's...
Oh, God.
You walked out there, they were probably laughing already.
I think it was... It was Trophy... I mean, like, nobody... You're looking at me like you never saw Trophy Wife in Hollywood. But then it was... it was very, very bad rain in San Diego. You know, it never rains and people can't drive. And... I had driven all the way out to this prison outside of town, you know, for a conjugal visit. And I get all the way out there after that huge long drive. And it turns out you had to know somebody.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
It is.
Incredible.
And then when you go out there, so you have to judge between the applause and when to start.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Because when you go out there and they see you and they start laughing, like, oh shit, they're tripping out on you, but you can't last
like,
too long.
When you're in, like, you know, I've very rarely been in big theaters more than like 1,500 people, but like I would imagine at your level, because like where you two are, how big your spaces are, that must become like a real nightly decision because there's so many people out there to see you and you want to acknowledge that they've spent that money and they're here to see you.
Yeah.
But then you also want to go, I don't want to be an asshole with, you know, I got to do this.
It's a process. Because, you know, I was when I got the first show like 20 years ago, I was still in clubs and then I went to theaters and then in like 3 years, I was like in arenas.
Yeah.
And I remember I fired this guy that was a DJ because we were in Austin at UT where University of Texas plays basketball. And he gets up there and he comes up behind me and goes, Jesus Christ, this is going to be full with people. You're not nervous? I said, man, you're fired, dude. Motherfucker, no, I'm not nervous, but if you are, you got to go.
That's funny.
So in the trailer park life, I mean, there's you do meet.
Such good characters.
But I mean, they're not bad people.
No, there's some wackos and there's some beautiful people. Like the other day, I'm not kidding, this woman, she has a good friend of mine. She's like 85. Her name is Carol, and she's been diagnosed with Parkinson's the last couple years. And literally, I'm at the pool because we hang out at our pool all the time. It's heated. I don't want to brag, but anyway, so she we're sitting by the pool, and she puts her hand on my hand, and she said, you know, Vicky, you know, I just want you to know as you get older, you know, Ron and I, we still have sex. And I still have multiple orgasms. And I'm like, maybe it's the Parkinson's. She's sitting around the pool telling me this. I'm like, it's amazing. But I just love the things you hear at the pool and the people. It's just fantastic.
We
have a golf cart parade every year. It's just, it couldn't be better.
But you know, comedy is really about meeting characters.
Yeah.
You know, about being around characters.
Yeah.
So, you know, me and a friend of mine from high school, he goes, hey, I got us a job as like landscapers on Saturday over there on Van Nuys. And he gets there and we get there and the guy has the trays of little plants that, you know, we have the thing he and I are. And then, you know, we're out there and this fucking guy's got a huge yard. He's got like 1,000 of these little like planting fucking cupcakes in a football field. And I'm like, son of a bitch. And toward the end of the day, you end up getting a little bit sloppy, man. And the guy would yell at me from the porch, you're stepping on my varieties. I had no idea. I guess that's what they call me, the different flowers. And every time I took a step, I stepped in more of his varieties. I'm like, what's this guy? But then sometimes when I get together with that guy, and we've known each other for like 40 years, I'll say, you're stepping out my varieties. I sold area code books door to door by the VA hospital in Van Nuys. Oh, my God. Yeah, they go, what kind of book is it? Well, let's say you have some friends in Montana. I don't have friends in Montana. Well, let's say you do, and you needed to know the area code. I mean, imagine selling a fucking book of area codes, and you would leave.
That's hilarious.
You would leave a paper in the morning, and then circle back, and the fact, even if somebody opened the door, you'd be like, just thank you for opening the door. We don't want your fucking book, but at least we're opening the door for you. It's like, God, and you're just like, what the fuck is it? An area code book.
Yeah, and you think comedy's hard.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Try selling area code books.
I locked the keys in my trunk. God. Fucking.
Oh, no.
We were finally done. I put all the books in there. I slammed the books. And he goes, my guy Arnold goes, where are the keys? I thought you had the keys. And we locked them in the fucking trunk. And we had to walk, get the fucking bus and walk. Oh,
God.
And stepping on varieties all the way back. But, I mean, you know, it's kind of like those people that you meet that I had a guy with cerebral palsy that I was helping. He's from Indiana. And I said, you know, Dan, fly out here and you can stay with me and I'll get you a couple of gigs. And he says to me, I mean, he had a hard time walking. And he said, if I fall, don't pick me up because I have to learn to pick myself up. This motherfucker fell every 10 minutes. So we would just be talking to my grandmother here. Like, so I would look around the corner and you could see his cane in the air like this.
God.
Like he's on his back and the cane is like this. Like in the air, but he's on his back. Like, like a turtle, you would at least fucking roll him over. So I'd go, Dan, you need some help? No, I'm fine. Fucking cane in the air. And then 20 minutes later, and you're just like, fucking Dan, man. And then you didn't want to pick him up there. You're like, fuck him. He falls every 10 minutes. I'm not fucking going there. Got shit to do.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But I mean, the characters that you meet, you know, and the podcast you haven't premiered yet, right?
No, it's going to be soon though. But within moments.
Yeah, March 22nd. It you know I think kind of just features really because Vicky and I were an unlikely pair of besties. And we're kind of like the, you know, a little more modern day ab fab.
Totally fabulous.
I bought some used lipsticks.
Okay,
She's still not over it. She took me to a thrift store.
Here it goes. Go ahead. Tell the story.
You know, first of all, getting her into a thrift store is not easy.
Horrible.
But it was in Santa Barbara. That's why the homeless look so good there. They're all wearing Lorraine.
It hurts, George. It hurts.
And so I found this really expensive, like,
I'd rather
French
get a mammogram
lipstick.
Than go into a.
And I said you could just wipe it off, and she went nuts.
That's
and,
fucking hilarious. And, like a used lipstick.
It's used lipstick.
You know, you just wipe it off. You don't like new when you just shaved it off. It was fine.
It's almost like if you took the black part of the banana away.
That's right. You still have a good banana.
I mean, my grandmother would go like, this fucking banana is still good.
That's
like, right. Fuck that thing.
Exactly.
But then we're leaving after I paid the lipstick. We're leaving and I slowed down by the bathing suits and she just grabbed me. No! So, yeah, but it's always like
that's
that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Those bathing suits that had like the crush that had rubber.
Yeah.
Like you fucking ball.
And you wear them like for a whole summer and then you find the rubber at the end. Yeah. And you didn't remember to take off all balled up.
Man.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. The shit that we, you know, the highest form of sanitation when we were growing up was that when you went bowling, they fucking sprayed Lysol in the shoe.
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
That's it.
Even if you said, what size are you? I'm an 11. He's an 11 and he's turning them back in. You'll wait to get the fucking still warm from him wearing them.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll put them on. I mean, you know, what we've become is fucking crazy, man. Like, nobody, you know, my grandmother would say, if you put your shirt on inside out, it's bad luck to fucking turn it back outside in. So when you're a kid, you fucking put your shirt on backwards, and she would say, don't change it because it's bad luck, you're walking. And every kid in school is pulling your fucking tag all fucking day, and you're trying to tear your own tag off, you know?
Thanks, Grandma.
Oh, my God. One time I saw a guy, and he had some 501s on, and you know it'd say waist and the length, and he tried to lower the waist by putting pen on the... He tried to change the number of his waist to a smaller number, and fucking we're like, is that fucking pen down there? You're trying to turn it into a fucking eight, and we tore his fucking label off of there, running around the school holding the fucking Levi tag in the air. I mean,
that's
I mean, it's just like shit that kids did that nobody would do now.
I remember I wore Husky pants from Sears. The
tough skins, those fucking. I bought my shoes at Hugh. My grandma bought some shoes for me at Hughes at the market.
Uh-huh.
I mean, fuck them. And you didn't give a shit.
I shopped for my kids' school clothes at the lost and found box at our school.
Oh,
and Emily
that is
one
no
day
joke.
Goes, Mom, would you just maybe go to a different school? And I go, brilliant idea. So then I would start going to Del Mar to the better schools and get like really nice Harley shirt and be way better clothes. Because there's like 2 days
but
a year
Vicky,
where they give it all away.
Vicky's the queen of return, too. She is so good at like beating the system. Like,
you have to be. You have to be. You got to raise kids on a comic salary. You got to be clever.
Yeah. I nicknamed Vicky Swindler's List.
Yeah. Oh,
because she can just figure out to outsmart anybody in retail. I've never seen anything like it. It's a gift.
Yeah, it's a job.
How did you learn that?
I had to. I literally was living on, you know, the money.
Like you could leave your house and come back. My mom could do this. I wasn't around my mom a lot.
Right.
But my mom could leave and come back holding a new TV and you're like, you don't have a job.
I've never passed a free sign without stopping and putting it in my car. I don't care what it is. I have to have it. I'll give it away. But yeah. And then, you know, there's certain stores that have a very generous return policy. I think I'm the one that put Mervyn's out of business.
First of all, Mervyn's gave everybody a credit card.
That's right.
And they would take anything back.
That's right.
And when they went out of business, I probably owed them $1,100. I had the little Britannia shirts. And I you know, it wasn't even much. Like, it was like $11 a month. I can't fucking pay that.
No.
You know, and then the Mervyn's over there on Roscoe and Laurel Canyon. And
they went
out of business because they gave everybody a credit card. You could fill it out right there. You're like, I'm not going to pass. Hey, congratulations. Here's your credit card. You go fucking crazy in the store.
Yep. Also, like, if you pay like $23 for a salmon at Whole Foods and it's not quite as good as you thought, you should just, you know, you bring it back. You don't have to bring much back. You just have to bring a small amount back. And I feel like it's
fucking hilarious. Well, you never did that. Did you do that? Take it back?
Yeah, salmon. I've done it.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, because it was so expensive. I'm like, it better be, you know, unbelievable. And I thought it wasn't unbelievable enough. So I just bring a little bit back and they just hand you. There's
I didn't
no
think it was
argument.
Unbelievable enough.
There's no argument.
I believed it and that was a problem.
There was no argument.
Yeah.
There's never an argument. It's at this point, I'm doing a little bit better. So but I really do feel like all the swindling I did, I kind of had no way around it.
No, but I mean, it wasn't swindled as much. Well, I think it was swindling.
Well,
but also, there's a system to be worked, though.
Yes, there is. There's that.
You know.
And it clearly, a lot of times I was within the system, and then I have to say it other times, I was without the system.
Right.
And there's some guilt involved. But, you know, I just go to the priest every now and then.
But Vicky's so charming that so it disarms
yeah,
the people.
She's disarming.
They don't know. And she's funny, and she's likable, and she's good people. So they don't see that.
You know, when Jerry Seinfeld bought, they were telling me, you know, years ago that he bought a tuxedo. You know, he was very frugal, and he spent, you know, over $1,000 on a tuxedo, and they fit him for it, and he's like, whoa, and he you know, he wears it at the event, and at the end of the night, he puts his hand in his pocket, and it says like Jeremy Piven, table 10, like somebody had taken it back.
Oh yeah,
and
yes.
he thought he was buying like this new tuxedo. But somebody had already worn it.
Jeremy
so
Piven.
And taken it back.
Hilarious.
And they sold it to him as new.
Ugh, I hope he got the money back for himself. I bought a Free People jacket, which I looked for. That's fancy clothes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I negotiated. I wanted this jacket for so many days and months and years. Finally, it went on sale. I bought it. I get home. It had a peso in it. I'm like, my jacket's been to Mexico. And so I called the lady at Macy's. I called her up. I go, my jacket's been to Mexico. There's a peso in the pocket. And she goes, what do you want? I go, I would like it for half the what I paid, and I'll keep it. And so she goes, can you get here by 5 o'clock? I ran over to Macy's.
It's fucking hilarious, man. Oh, my God.
It's just what you have to do.
You know when wearing, like, a Boy Scout shirt became, like, fashionable? Like, you could get a Cub Scout shirt?
Yeah.
You know, I think, who wore one? Like, Flea wore one or somebody?
Yeah.
And in high school, I got a Boy Scout shirt and I wore it to school one day. They're like, motherfucker, you're not on the Boy Scout. I said, it's fashion, puto. They still had the lodge number on it. And it's like, you know, no, it's like, it's fashion.
Yeah.
Where are the pants at? It's like, I'm not a fucking Boy Scout. It's a fucking fashion.
Clay, you're like Thin Mints, anyone?
Yeah, right?
You never get over those high school and those kid memories of wearing the wrong thing.
So in the podcast, will you guys have... Will you have guests?
Eventually, we will have guests. Yeah.
Like what kind of?
Well, we had my French maid already, but yeah.
For right now, it's just Vicky and I, and it's me living in Vicky's trailer park. Mm-hmm. And
wait a minute, you live in the trailer park too?
In our pretend life.
Okay.
For the show.
Yeah, it's a little bit improvised, and then it's also a little bit fiction.
But I think it's fascinating to imagine that you would be there.
It's
right.
Really fun. Actually think she did move in sometime.
My sisters actually believe I did.
That's
so
awesome.
Apparently, they don't know
they
me.
Went
ape shit.
They did. They thought she got a divorce and moved into my trailer park. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. But does anybody move out? Pretty, no, right?
Only when they die.
Yeah.
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 It's one of those, like you're in.
It's exactly
and especially
like
you don't
that.
Want to give up. So if someone dies, can you, like Checkers, can you slide to another spot?
That's how spot? I got mine.
Her trailer.
That's how I got the new one on the top of the hill. I watched their trash can for 4 years. One day there was nothing in the trash. And I called the realtor. I'm like, I think something's up.
Fucking no trash.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah, she swooped in.
I swooped in. Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did.
You know, somebody that I know, the woman's husband died and the guy walked over there in black and he's like, I was at the service and I just want you to... No, if there's anything that I can do for you, just let me know. I'm Peter. I was friends with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't know. Well, you know, this house is going to be too much. He fucking bought it. He didn't
go
to the funeral. He went over there and pretended he was at the service.
Oh.
And he bought the woman's house when she was bereaved.
Oh,
that's a move.
Oh, that's rough.
That's a little low down.
That's not like returning a shirt at Kohl's.
No, that's low down. I mean, when you do that, that's...
You know, in the trailer park where I'm in now, a lot of the people go to the Alzheimer's care centers and then... This really is happening in my trailer park right now. Two people that are neighbors, the husband and wife from the different trailers, are in an Alzheimer's home. They started having an affair in the Alzheimer's home. And the people that still live in the houses, they're starting to have an affair. And this affair also broke up another affair that was going on. And now the ladies' club in our park had to separate the food giveaway day between the warring factions. It's very dramatic.
I love it. Drama in the trailer.
It's like Shakespeare.
So Does the trailer park take the characteristics of the town? Like if like in San Fernando there was trailer parks over there.
Yeah.
Right? Did you live near a trailer park?
Yeah.
We would ride our bikes through there, and so that does take on the characteristics of where it is?
Sure. Like our trailer is in Oceanside, and Oceanside's a little more seedy than, say, the next town over, Carlsbad, which those trailer park people think that they're, you know, doesn't stink, yeah. Which it does. And it's sickening. It's boring. I hate them. Oh, I don't really hate them individually, but as a park. you know, they have a golf course attached. Yeah, you know, and our park is more seedy.
They do have like a golf.
Yeah.
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 And kids grow up there and they're...
Well, I used to live in a family park in Vista. It was a great park. Great time. Really good.
So they have different parks. Like they have senior parks.
Family parks. And you are, though, they kind of reflect the area that's around.
Yeah, her trailer has a lake and ducks.
It's actually a drainage ditch, really, but it looks like a lake.
It's nice.
Well,
there's ducks.
Is there an address, or you have to look at the number under the, your space
number? I used to have space 11 in my last park, but this one has 225 on my address, like a real street.
Do you want to tell everyone exactly where you live?
I do all the time. Good. No one ever comes.
She does. I've seen her do it in her show where she's like, hey, if anyone wants to see any of the men, want to see me after the show, she'll give her real hotel room.
No one ever comes.
I have to
tell her. Somebody delivered a box of donuts once. That is all I ever got.
Like, you're going to get murdered, Vicky. You can't give your real. Like when I would go to her hotel, I'm like, you really gave the real number? And she'll do that. And I'm like, don't do that. Too many crazies.
You know, I was in the lobby of the hotel at the Four Seasons in Austin, and there was an old guy with, like, this Mexican girl that was beautiful, right? So we're looking at her, and we're like, what the fuck is she thinking with being with that old dude, right?
An old guy with a young girl, George, what?
This was when I was much younger. Yeah. So she goes upstairs, and then she comes down, and she says, you know, you guys want to have a drink? I'd love to have a drink with you. And we have a couple of drinks, and I said, I'm in, she goes, what room are you in? I said, I'm in 713. So I go to 713. She goes, I'll be right up. 713, I'm in there. I'm waiting for, you know, and nobody opened the door, looked down the hall, nothing. I'm like, shit, she's going to be in here. So I look down. I look at the door. It's fucking 317.
Oh, no. Damn you, dyslexia.
No, did you run right up to the seventh floor?
I was like, fuck.
Oh, man.
I mean, I really, every day I'll invert.
Oh, yeah.
I'll invert numbers because I just see numbers different. When Google, you know, sends your code to re-sign in, I fuck it up all the time.
Yeah.
817, it's like 178. And still, you know, and when I found out maybe like, I think maybe over 20 years ago, that, you know, my wife said, you know, you could get tested and, you know, you can be corrected. And I thought, I don't think so, because I think, you know, it's kind of part of your mental makeup so that if you, you know, get retested and then you start thinking normal, maybe the part that thinks obscure or different than everybody else, you lose.
Yeah,
you know, there's a kind of an analytical thing to do what we do, and if you start to think like everybody else, then
you start medicating your brain like that.
Yeah,
one of my ex-husbands used to leave a psychiatrist card on my pillow every single night when I go to bed like a candy. Every goddamn night there'd be a psychiatrist thing for me to go to the psychiatrist.
John?
Yeah, John. And I was like, finally, I'm like, okay, I'll go. And it turned out to be a really great experience. But I mean, I didn't get drugs or anything. She would laugh with me. It was
what
fun.
Services do they have at the trailer park? Like, do they have a rec room?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we got a pool room, like a billiard room.
A
beautiful pool. Yeah, upstairs we got a billiard room. I don't know. I should take you there. I'm sorry.
You take me to the
rec
room.
I know you really played pool, but we got a big multi-purpose room, and then we have the park around our fake lake and. And that's it. And then we have like free food giveaway twice a week that the charities bring, which I think is really nice.
One time my friend lived on Reseda and I was working during the day. And he goes, you got to come over to my place. It was a brand new apartment building. And we go down to the rec room and they had a couple pool tables. And at one pool table, all these guys had like the boot that was bigger than the heel was bigger than the other. Like one leg was shorter than the other. And they had... like those Forrest Gump braces on one leg, and they were a little bit turned kind of like this, and there was like five guys, but they were all like in their 20s, and they all weren't bad looking guys. It's just they were a bit disabled. You know, they were kind of like sideways, and every one of their girlfriends was fucking beautiful.
Wow.
And we would be playing pool and we'd be looking over and they'd be like kissing these guys. And we'd be looking at each other.
Got to get a bit disabled.
I said to that dude, take this fucking pool cue and hit me right in the middle of my fucking back. I'll steal one of these girls away from those guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
But you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And it's almost like if it was like set up like that.
Yeah.
I mean, never seen anything like it. Those guys would walk around with the big, like, I mean, like 7 inches of rubber. And the other one was like a flat. Oh. And you're just like, what the fuck? What fucking club?
Amazing.
What fucking club is this? These guys go to and pull these fine chicks.
Maybe they had big settlements or something. Right. I don't know.
They're all in the same accident. Man, that's pretty wild, man. You know, Gil, you never lived in a trailer park or anything, huh?
No.
He's lived in the same house for
48 years.
Seriously? Wow. Did you buy your folks' house or something? Or you,
no, you, I bought the first house I ever bought after I've been married 3 years, bought the house, and that was it.
Oh, that did you build on to it as the years went by?
I modernized it and put a bigger room. And
with an inspector or not?
Yeah.
Permits and everything. Well, that's
my
awesome.
My daughter lives in the house that I grew up in.
Wow.
She wanted to buy it because she just said, Dad, I want to invest. I don't have kids. I don't have a husband. But I see all my friends. They're getting married and they're living in an apartment. So I just want to invest in something and have something when the time is right. So now she's got two kids.
And she bought her grandparents' house?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
So she paid it's paid off. It's paid off, right?
No, that was not paid off. I sold it and then divvied up the money between my other sisters.
You know, my grandfather was trying to teach me, you know, to be responsible. And he was charging me like $50 a month rent. And I was working, you know, during the week. And I was $1,000 behind. I mean, thank God he died. I would have never fucking paid that. I said, that motherfucker died. He fell down the stairs. I said, shit, I would have never fucking paid him. He just give me a little bit every week. I'm like, this guy's fucking hounding me, man, for $50
so
a month.
So funny.
But I died. He died. I owed him. I was in the hole.
Put it on my Mervin's card.
And you know, he used to dig ditches and stuff and stuff like that. So in the house in the back, they added a bathroom, but it was not through an inspector, you know.
Right.
So they would be digging in the back, and then you know, over time, you know, I'm like, hey man, what happened to my bike that was back here? And he goes, I didn't see a bike that was back here. I said, yeah, I had a bike right here. He's like, I don't know, but somebody stole it, you know, somebody took it. And years later, they were doing something in the back with the sewage had broken, and the city came in there. My grandmother lived there. And I went over there, and they were digging in. My fucking grandfather threw the bike in the hole to fill it up because they didn't have enough dirt.
Oh, no.
So he threw my bike in the fucking trench, almost like as filling. So that when they put the dirt in,
oh my God.
And there it was, my fucking bike caked.
That's horrible.
Caked in mud.
That's pretty cheap.
Oh my God, my
fucking like 15 years later, like that son of a bitch.
God, tough.
That's what I get for fucking ditching
them for $1,000.
Thank God
your life turned out okay.
That shit is. I should dig around the hole. I could probably find my birth certificate back there.
Well, my grandpa was the size of a hobbit, so he couldn't even pick up a bike and throw it. Like he was a little man, Grandpa Max. So.
Grandpa Max.
Yeah.
And what did he do?
Well, I don't know what Grandpa Max actually did. Besides be a grandpa,
but
he always had scotch in his hand. That's what. And he told jokes. And he loved the World Wrestling Federation. And he would take us to those. And he actually had a heart attack and died at one.
Good way to go.
My cousin was with him.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
My dad died in a casino too, gambling.
He died happy.
Oh yeah. He was
with one leg
at Barona.
Too, her dad.
Yeah, and there's a sign in San Diego. What would your Barona moment be? And I go, I got one. But he died happy.
Did?
I mean, I want to die happy. I want to die in a bakery having a threesome with a fireman and a chocolate eclair. I want to be like Dad. You know?
Yeah. I guess, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to die throwing my grandson's bike in a freaking hole.
That's awful.
So, as a grandma.
And he knew I was fucking looking for it. He still didn't say, oh, no.
Oh, God.
He knew where it was.
Yeah.
Jeez,
he saw me looking
bike.
For it. He made me fucking look for it.
These guys were tough.
Oh, really?
He's like, go around the neighborhood. You'll find it.
He made you look for it.
It's fucking in the hole. It's fucking in the hole.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Very
so
different
sorry.
Now, you know.
It's
funny, too, because, you know, if you look back on, you know, growing up like in the 70s or things like that, like I could still see you know, the Pop Warner team, you know, practicing in the park and, you know, playing Little League with my friends and all that stuff. That's still very vivid, you know. And
right.
I think kids now
No.
I'm not sure if their what their memories will be of their childhood.
And their moms were so tense. Like my mom and her friends, and I grew up in Fountain Valley, you know, until I was 12, by Huntington Beach over there. And my mom and her friends always brought flasks on field trips. You know, that's just what they did. And now, you know, the tension for the young moms, so different, you know. Oh, I brought one on a field trip, and I never heard the end. It's just, it's like the way it is for kids today. The parents are so tense. You know, I just watch my daughters be parents, and it's just like the parameters are so tight.
Oh, very different.
Nobody I'm not going to say the guy's name, but when we were in elementary school, he lived on the other street, little cul-de-sac, and his mom, this is in the early 70s, his mom looked like a Mexican Mary Tyler Moore.
Mm-hmm.
I used to wear the tight pants, and she would wear a white blouse, but you could see her bra through the through the blouse. And it was in that time when the ladies had like the pointy.
Yes.
I tried to fuck a Chrysler bumper. They used to have those, the rounded off.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. The pointed bra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was a round long, but.
Madonna wore?
Like that.
Well, yeah, but you know, like.
But the, like, yeah, it was pointy.
Yeah.
But what was that? What was that look? Like, guys never had a pointy cup. It was always rounded off.
You took a moment on that one.
Yeah. I think that
it was like, on both of them. So they would be like, and you're just like, whoa, man.
Yeah. Here they are.
And nobody had a mom that was attractive. And fucking guys would be across the street. And, you know, they'd see her driving in the neighborhood. They'd kind of fucking go down there and watch her take the groceries out of. Oh, my God.
So she was not just a MILF. She was Mexican MILF. Like two M's.
Hot, man. She was hot.
You never forget a woman like that.
We had one in our neighborhood. Betty.
We had one in our neighborhood.
One of your friend's mom?
Yeah. He went on to be an attorney. We had the Helms Bakery man that was trying to put the push on her.
The Helms Bakery man. The
and
bakery
I remember as a kid, I'd walk around the cul-de-sac because I lived on a dead-end street. See her walking around in her bra. Oh.
Gil creeping.
I was a sucio.
When I first got married, I lived in a condo. And on occasion in the morning, you could look down and you would see the girl walk past the bathroom like naked. And I would be in the living room with the lights off and my wife came up behind me. She goes, "What are you doing?" It's like you put a fucking hole in the ceiling. Yeah. I jump, fucking. Oh. I'm watching like this. I don't see anybody here. Anybody behind me? She goes, "What are you doing?" Fucking scared the shit out of me.
When we first moved to our trailer with my daughters, you know, I wasn't used to being in a trailer, and the whole front is glass, two giant glass windows in the old style trailers. And one morning, I was walking around naked in the and my daughter Emily goes, "Mom, the poor gardeners, they were out there." I'm like,
but you know, I mean, you know, now I think if a friend walked through and saw like the mom, I mean, he would tell his mom and they would fucking call the police.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You just can't masturbate anymore. And somebody goes, this kid's being kids.
yes, you can.
You know, another fire went off in the park. I tried to drive one time and jack off. It almost fucking sideswiped some fucking truck on the 14 freeway. I'm like, do I really can't wait 20 minutes to get home? I got to jack off right now at the 14 and the 5 interchange.
Oh, my God.
Gotta love
that. That's where the term jack off came from. That's funny.
I guess if I had one, I would. But it's a little tougher for us.
You know, when you've seen your dick your whole life and you've seen it in all its glory as a young man.
Yeah.
You know, when you wake up in the morning and you have a boner, you don't even know any girls.
Right.
And there it is, and you clean it, and it's just this, you know, it's full of blood.
Is it cut?
It's cut.
Good.
And then when you're old and you see it just fucking dangling there like some old fucking windsock that somebody forgot when they moved, like a fish. Remember how people have those fish flags? It's just like some. It's just
the
some
religious fish flags that we're talking thing. About.
Oh, you know
it's just dangling. It's just hanging. Yeah. And you're like, man. I mean, you hate to see.
It is a sad thing.
You remember when you were young? You know, and you're like, just get hard for fucking just. For anything.
That's a good thing about being a girl and you can't see anything down there unless you really contort yourself.
Yeah.
But I know that it's not what it used to be.
Yeah. To get old is, it's not easy to get old.
Terrible.
It's awful.
Terrible.
You know,
I'll tell you guys what
it is, but there's also so many great things about it. Like you can just tell people that you won't do anything that they want you to do anymore. It's just like you just don't care.
That's true.
But yeah.
Well, you know, when my show is like almost 20 years, so I'm 20 years older. I mean, I was 41 when the show started.
Right.
And then I'm 60. But when people see me, they'll see you in the morning when you're 43.
Right.
And then see me in the afternoon when I'm 60. And they'll be like, are you George Lopez? And I'm like, yeah, who do I look like? He goes, oh, man. You got old. I said, motherfucker, fucking 60, motherfucker. I was 43 this morning when you saw me. I'm fucking 60 in real life. And they're just like, man, your hair's white. And
but men are so lucky because you get more distinguished looking, you know? We just get more haggard, like, and without a lot of work, which I'm not doing.
You know, I remember Pancho Gonzalez, that tennis player, was dark skinned and he had gray hair, and I was like, man, that motherfucker looks cool.
That's hot, right?
And I'm becoming, I think, the Chicano Pancho Gonzalez.
I mean, it is true. You look really hot, and it's with us, we let the hair grow gray, and it's like, oh god, just drive into a cliff.
Yeah,
don't do it.
I
have a friend who let her hair grow gray, and I'm like, I'm not hanging around with you, hag. I'm not dyeing this orange and going around with you.
Well, you don't dye your hair, do you?
Are you kidding me? Of course I do. All of it, everything matches. But I bought her a scarf. I mean, if I'm going to be with you, I'm not going to age 20 years.
You look good, though.
Why do you keep pointing at me when you say
you
aging?
You look great because she takes care of things. She has work done. She's perfect.
You do?
Well, I mean, but just the basics.
Just the basics.
Man, look at my nose. That's still the same. I mean, it's laser,
you know what? To get a nose
Botox
job is not easy.
Right.
I mean, even though they've had many, many years to perfect it, I know somebody, a guy that had his nose done because he couldn't breathe through it, and it fucked him up worse. Imagine.
Oh, bummer.
You go to your transmission is not working in your car, and the guy's like, hey, man, we fucked your transmission. It's like, motherfucker, you're in the transmission business. How did you fuck my car? Like, they still, because I think it's still the nose or whatever, but this guy is, I mean, he has to go and get it done all over again.
Yeah, but it's kind of a rite of passage, especially at the bar mitzvah age. It was like, do you want to get a nose job? Do you want to get that done?
And oh, shit.
I kept mine just in case Streisand dies tragically in a boating accident and they need me to play her for the biopic movie. So, but it's a thing. I mean, I've seen good ones and I've seen bad ones.
Can you breathe out of it and everything? It still works?
Oh, yeah, it still works. I mean, my husband sometimes is like, you were snoring last night. You crazy. And I'm like, what? What? And he's like, you were snoring. So once in a while, I'm
but
sure
when
it
you get
acts
older,
up.
People snore like my when I was married, my wife, and this is, I got up at 6:45 in the morning on a Sunday morning, and you hear this. I look outside. I go, they fucking trimming the trees on a Sunday. I swear to God, it sounded like they were trimming the trees, and she snored so fucking loud. And one time we took our daughter up to Carpinteria for the school, and everybody slept outside. And it was me and Maya, and they go, where's Ann? And we had a minivan with the two doors, and I hit the fucking door to open, and as it opens, you're
like,
you're like, that's where she is. She fucking slept. She was the only parent that slept in the fucking minivan. Everybody else was outside, and just you could fucking faintly hear it with
shook
both.
All night, oh, man. That's so wild.
Ann, you got to get in the fucking car, man. Everybody's like, Ann, get your ass in that van because nobody's going to be able to sleep.
Oh, it's tough. When you're with I had one husband, he snored so loud the door would open and close. People videoed it,
But, you know, I went and had my nose looked at with the doctor, and he said, when did you break your nose? I had no idea I broke my nose. No idea.
Right. So we had no idea you put the balls on that poster either.
Oh, damn.
So, you know, probably easily could have been.
That's right. But he knew the minute he looked, like he got under, they put like some to numb it. And he's like, when did you break your nose? I mean, maybe during baseball. I remember when you're playing basketball, they pass it or might reflect off somebody hit you or football or something. But, you know. I didn't know when or
I broke my nose 3 times, and I'm like one of those birds that don't see windows.
Yeah.
And I've publicly at a wedding, at
walked
a hotel,
into,
I walk right into like Rocky Balboa, like choo, and it's and I
that's
had
fucking
to, yeah,
that's dangerous.
It hurts.
And they'll put those little fucking daisies, and you're like, what are those for?
Right.
And then you see like the side of somebody, right, the oil of somebody's face on the side.
You would think I got glasses by now, but no, it's very painful.
Yeah. You don't wear glasses?
Not yet.
Wow.
Not yet. Reading glasses sometimes when it's really, really tiny, tiny writing.
You know, you will never succumb to the pressure of using glasses when you need them. Because somebody saw me and I had my mouth open, you know, my...
Your text is like this big.
And they're like, what are you doing? I said, I'm fucking trying to see what this is. And my font is still like a number 4. And they're like, increase the font. I'm like, fuck you, man. Mm-hmm. I'm not blind. But I wouldn't even increase the font, because if you increase the font, then what are you? Mm-hmm. Now you're increasing the font.
You're blind.
Next thing, you're going to have a little chair in the living room that has a place where you can take a shit in there, and they roll it back on the side.
The next step.
You know, I grew up with a friend of mine that his grandfather lived with him, and he had a hospital bed, but it didn't fit in the room. So in the middle of the fucking
living room.
It had the hospital bed in the living room. So the whole buddy be watching a movie, and the grandfather would be in the middle of the living room with a fucking hospital bed. He goes, don't tell me what's going to happen. He fucking move the thing back, come back up. I mean, and then this full-size hospital bed with the little urine bag on the side, and you're just like, man, you know, in somebody's house. When somebody's like that in the house, it can't help but smell like...
Yeah.
I mean, terrible. The hospitals, they're always cleaning, but, you know...
Yeah. I don't let me have a hospital bed in the middle of the room.
You can't have a hospital bed in someone's house. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Well, if that's all you can afford, sometimes you just have to get a used hospital bed.
there's a lady that I work that I know that, like, she's told me that she started to donate some time at like an old folks home, and she finds it very worthwhile.
Yeah.
Because nobody goes to see him, you know, and that she has a couple hours a week that she does that stuff, and she said, like, I enjoy it. Like, I didn't think that it was something that I would do, and she just started doing it.
That's
and
so cool.
Yeah,
because they're so lonely. My husband Lou plays piano before COVID in the nursing homes on some afternoons, and he just loves it. And you know, I think it's so nice. I mean, I love older people.
But it's incredible, like, what they're doing today with senior living. You have to be Bobo Rockefeller to get a place. Like, if you got your wits about you, and you're like, you know what, I can't handle this big house. You're empty nesting. You're older, and you want to find a place. It's like you got to have a gazillion dollars just to put down. Then you're paying rent on top. I just went to visit my aunt and uncle in Phoenix, and they just moved into a senior living place. It was like a cruise ship on land. There are 10 fancy restaurants you can make a reservation at. There was a golf course. There's a pool. They had like the Amundsen Theater. It was so...
I'm going to be in a hospital bed on my kid's back porch.
Oh, in the living room.
Because they're not going to let me in the living room.
The lanai out there with the screen. Screened
the lanai.
In.
I'll be in the
remember
lanai.
That? They had a lanai.
I'll pull you fresh into the air. Living room.
My grandmother would say, why don't you go play in the lanai? I'm like, what a lanai? Just a track home called lanai.
Lanai.
She heard on Hawaii 5-0 or some shit.
That's funny.
Fucking screened in back
lanai.
Back area.
Lanai is so golden, girl.
I don't even know how to spell lanai.
Yeah. All that stuff.
That's a funny word.
Yeah, it's.
But you know what? I could always end up when I had my talk show, we went over to the actor's home.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's people that, you know, the actors that live in it, but there's people that you remember from movies and TV.
Wow.
And they're in there living in there.
That's so beautiful.
And they, you know, they take care of them and all that stuff. And you see some lady walk by, you're like, that's mm-hmm. remember the
Is
lady
that Lana
from
Turner?
Wedding Singer? That old lady, she was in there.
Wow. Wow. Oh, how fun.
And it's like people that you know, you're like, oh, shit, that's so-and-so. I think when they're pretty young now, I think, because if you don't have any family and stuff like that, like, you're going to need to, you know. I think us, you know, do you spend a lot of time alone? Do you guys spend time alone? Or do you prefer to be alone? Or you like people around you?
I love my kids.
Yeah.
I always have a lot of gay men around me at all times.
Yeah. There's a lot of gays.
Yeah.
I have a small amount of gays. She has 1,000 gays.
But those are, listen, if gay people like you, those are the real fans.
Well, those are the ones that are going to take, I don't have any children, so I just kind of keep befriending younger and younger gay men. Yeah. I'm like, what? You're 18? Right. You can take care of me when I'm older. Like, that's just what, they're going to be my kids.
Yeah. Did you, were you afraid of having a child? Did you think about it? Because
No, I never was afraid.
I mean, it's, as a girl, do you grow up thinking about being a mom when you're growing up, right? Always. You play with dolls and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're taught that very young, especially growing up in Oklahoma. It was like, when are you getting married? When are you having kids? I'm 14. Like, that's right. It's a whole thing. And I love children. And I got married a little bit later in life. And then, you know, at some point we're kind of just discussing maybe adoption or fostering and helping a child. So I never rule it out, but I really do appreciate children and love them. And I like big
She's
families.
She's everybody's aunt.
Were you in the room when your children were delivered? Back in those days.
Two of them was.
Yeah. But back in the early days, the guy with the husband would wait outside and smoke cigarettes and he'd knock on the door. The fuck? Come on.
I had one guy who wouldn't even drive me to the hospital. He's like, it's too early. He literally wouldn't drive me. I had to call my mother. He's like, it's too early. I can't get up.
So, you know, when I was another time after the show drinking, and, you know, I would always talk to my friends and I'd go, man, do I sound like I'm drunk? And they're like, no, because I got to call home. You know, I have to call home. So I go, I got to call home, man. So I don't sound like I'm drunk. They go, no. So I call. And my wife would be like, have you been drinking? I mean, I always drank. But that sometimes when it was really bad, you had to pretend like at least, uh-huh. You know, you had to. So I'm talking to her in the car. I don't remember what I said. And then the next day, I call her like at 1. And she goes, I've been thinking about what you said last night. I said, oh, yeah? And she's like, yeah, were you serious? And I said, yeah, I'm serious. You really? Because I didn't think you wanted to. And I'm like, no, you know, listen, if I say it, then, you know, I'm serious about it. And I don't have no fucking idea man. What she's talking about. But I mean, what could it be? It had to be something that, you know. So I said, yeah, I'm serious. She goes, you really want to go to Tijuana and adopt a Mexican kid? And I was like, what the fuck? I said, what the fuck? Last night you said you want to go to Tijuana and adopt a little Mexican kid. I said, fuck that. Fucking bullshit. I got little Mexican kids here. Why would I go over there and get one? But I guess I was
shop
like,
shop local, George.
I never wanted to adopt it. I guess that night, I don't know how she got me. I was like, yeah, we'll go down and we'll pick one out. Come down. You know, like a fucking Christmas tree.
If only it were that easy.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I remember Howard Stern said, like, when you adopt a kid, like, you don't know what the genes are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my family would definitely be an improvement. So I would be, we can barely walk upright. So I think that for any of our family.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, ladies, it's been a blast, man. You guys are great.
Thank you so much for having us. It's really been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, letting us tell the world about Trailer Park Diaries.
Yeah, you tell them where they can find it and what it's going to be about.
Yeah, exactly. Tell the people, your social media handles, all that sort of stuff.
And congratulations, you guys have over 50 episodes already, and it's been so much fun listening to you guys.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
We're inspired. Yeah. Yes, so, yeah, you can listen to us on all the podcasts.
Yeah, it's called Trailer Park Diaries, and it premieres March 22nd.
Will it be salacious? And
we give a cocktail recipe at the beginning of each show that we created for each episode.
We like to drink.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Give
either way, I love this.
Do you? You could mix
George
that with
Lopez.
Like tequila.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Give me a cocktail, something with vodka for the house.
Okay. Well,
oh,
we have
do the,
sex
the Brita on, thing. The Brita trick.
Oh yeah, this is true. This is a thrill gift to you. You take a Brita filter and the cheapest vodka you can lay your hands on, like, you know, the cheapest vodka you can find.
Pop off.
You run that through a Brita filter 4 to 6 times. I'm not kidding you. It is as smooth as glass, and you pour that into an empty Grey Goose bottle to share with your family. They'll never know.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I got a whole bunch of fake Tito's right now at the trailer. No one will know, except I just told
everyone. Swindler's list.
Yeah. This is the thing.
But wait a minute. What does the filter do? Like, it removes
all the hardness out of the vodka, and it runs. You know how the cheap vodkas taste all hardy? You run it through. I actually learned it years ago from a friend of mine who's an artist and has all these art shows in L.A. with rich people. So he learned how to filter the vodka, and so I've been just doing it ever since. It's amazing. Yeah.
That's pretty fucking ghetto, though. I mean.
Well.
I mean, but it's good. I mean, it's nice. It filters
it
the.
When you're saving
this is
the
what
money,
we teach
though,
you on Trailer Park Diaries.
Yeah, through a Brita filter. Yeah. I mean, come on.
4 to 6 times. You can't mess around.
What's the worst vodka? Pop off or Kamchatka?
I haven't had Kamchatka.
One. I buy a lot of them at a grocery outlet. They don't even have names. Did you guys hear that they're changing the name of Stolichnaya outside of Russia? They're going to just call it Stoli from now on.
Yes, I heard that. Yeah.
Oh, they're going to take the rush
good
out
idea.
Of it?
Yeah. Well, there's something going on.
The same motherfuckers that said freedom fries instead of french fries?
Yeah, they're the ones.
I mean, come on. You know, There was a guy that, Ivan, the guy that lived across the alley from me, and he was pickled, man, this dude. And his wife was always up his ass. He had a trailer on the side of his house, and I'd go in there and mess around. You know, we'd go and watch TV. He's a gun collector, and we'd go in there. And he was a cool dude. Big-ass stomach, like, extended from drinking. And she would be fucking yelling at him, and the door would be open. And he'd go, George, don't ever get married, man. It's a son of a bitch. You hear that shit? I got to hear that shit every day. He goes, that's why I drink. Look at me. I'm all red. He was fucking red from just drinking. And we had a small gate at the house, and he came over one time looking for my grandfather, and the gate was locked, and that big motherfucker jumped over that gate like a high hurdle. And you were like, what the fuck? I said, whatever he's drinking gives you the ability to fucking leap small gates.
That's fabulous.
I mean, that guy did not look like he could fucking move at all. And he gets over there and, like, Dwight Stone, like a scissor kick over the fucking and my grandmother and I looked at each other like, did you see that? That motherfucker jumped over the gate.
That's awesome.
Never seen it before. Scissor. Never seen anybody do it after. I tried to do it before I sold my grandmother's house. I couldn't do it. And that motherfucker, in one move.
That's beautiful.
Scissor kicked that gate and jumped over.
He might have been drinking Brita vodka.
He was, he was pickled, but he was awesome.
You were telling us about Sex on the Countertop. Was that the
Sex
drink?
Sex on the Countertop was a good drink that we did. We also did, we had so many fun drinks.
Trailer Teeny. I know that.
Yeah, we did the Trailer Teeny.
Yeah.
What's a trailer? Is it all kind of low level? Can you get by with some?
We had, what do we have? The Shirley Temple Betham.
Yeah. What was the one with the banana we did? Hard on Banana.
Penis colada.
The penis colada was very good. And they are actually really good drinks, and we're going to teach everybody how to make them at the beginning of episode.
Yeah, we get creative.
I think that's good. Yeah. I think that's good. I don't think people, you know, my neighbor over there, Ralph, when I lived in Sherman Oaks, would say, hey, Joe, how about a highball? Like in the afternoon. He had these highball glasses, and he would come out, and I would go back into the house, and Ann would be like, are you fucked up? I said, fucking Ralph, man, gave you a highball. I'm all fucked up. Because you did, like, it's time, like highball time was like, what, 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah.
And
I haven't thought of a highball forever.
A highball glass.
Yeah. Spin on
what's the difference between a highball and a thing? And a thing. That's a Mexican coming out. What's the difference between a thing and the other highball? I mean, he'd come in with the tray.
Cart and everything.
And the tray to get caught in the fucking carpet. And the little thing with ice and all that. So he had the long.
Oh, man. Yeah. I love it.
So I found it. The difference between. So a highball refers to, like, particularly if it's in a tall glass. Mm-hmm. So, like, it minimizes the bubbles and it keeps the bubbles in there, as opposed to a low ball, which is like a whiskey glass, where you want to get more of, like, the aroma and smell.
You know, when you get older,
that's
low
amazing.
Ball.
See?
The low ball.
He knows everything.
I Googled it. It's easy.
Hang in the toilet bowl.
But nobody does like in Europe. It's tea time like at 4, right? I mean, it's just and they take the siesta in Spain.
Okay.
But here in America, when you're working class, nobody ever takes a break at 4 to. In Spain, they're productive. They look at you. He slept for the last hour. He had a siesta here.
Right on. I'm going to take a nap after this delicious thing.
Yeah.
So do you still have that restaurant at San Miguel? Do you actually have it?
Yeah.
Are you involved with the food there? No, I heard about some friends, though. But you...
Yeah. We put the menu together, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did they like it?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, they're like, Brian. I'm like...
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They go, I went to his restaurant. Because I thought he'd be on your show. They go, I went to his restaurant. I go... I wonder still.
I didn't think that stuff, like that whole stuff just happened so fast,
cool.
You know, since like 2015. But, you know, there's beer and then there's tequila that's coming out and the restaurants are doing great. And
this
you
is
know,
incredible. I've never had anything like
We're
it.
Not mad at beer or tequila.
Well, I'm glad that you guys like that. I wonder why you guys like that. And most people, I guess, is it sour to you? What does it taste like?
It's dry to me.
It's dry.
I'm a big fan of sour.
Yeah.
Like,
she loves sour candy.
I love sour candy.
And
sour.
I like brute champagnes and brute things. So it's really good.
Yeah.
It has a
little rosé.
Yeah.
Feeling.
I want to see what it looks like in a glass.
You know? Yeah. It's like that color. Yeah. D.L. Hughley would drink, is it Manhattan? Does that have like a banana in there? No, Old Fashioned.
A banana?
Oh, no. Old Fashioned has some fruit in it or something.
Like,
don't they have olives in an Old Fashioned?
I think an Old Fashioned.
Like burn like the outside of an orange or something like that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I drank
like an orange twist.
We were in Detroit and I drank, it's all sugar. I had a spinach salad and two of those drinks. I had to go to the fucking hospital with pancreatitis. That motherfucker, the doctor's like, what the fuck did you eat, man? I said, I ate a spinach salad and two old fashions. That motherfucker, no wonder, motherfucker, because shit. They fucking hook him up. I mean, I couldn't fucking stand upright. What the fuck is this?
I love this because it does not have the calories on the can. I never want
to
know.
Mexicanos, you have to look at wait till you're drinking it. It's at the bottom.
Yeah. Is it the bottom?
Information at the bottom.
I'm still not seeing it. But
yeah, well, listen, I wish you guys good. If I could ever, you know, appear, I'd bring Gil with me.
Oh, thanks.
Thank
a lot.
You.
We love that.
You're
going
to have to peer in the trailer park.
We, of course,
yeah,
love that.
In the trailer park, I'll be hopefully more alert. We need more alerts today.
Yeah. We need more alerts. I love that. Thanks, Gil. Thanks,
yeah.
You guys have been so charming.
A lot of fun.
You're
thank you
welcome.
For having us.
Thank you.
Good luck
thank
with
you.
The podcast.
Thanks, Grant.
Thank
thanks.
You.